The brand new Willow Doncaster boutique apartments are selling fast. With public transport on your doorstep and only a short walk to schools in Westfield Doncaster, visit willowdoncaster.com.au to start living in luxury.
Oh, guys, 24 hours to go. This time tomorrow, Alex and I will be in the hospital all ready for Alex to give birth to our beautiful fourth daughter.
30 minutes away.
Yeah, so I'm super excited. And last night, sort of panic hit in. It's real. Because through the whole pregnancy, I think we both, I could speak on behalf of Al, it's not real. It's probably real for her because she's had something in her tummy.
Yeah, quite real
but
for her.
But it's just like you just speak about it and it's there and all the hype, but like now it's like it's happening.
Yeah.
Like we've got all the baby clothes, we've got all the bottles and we sterilised last night. We opened up all the boxes and got all the little pink bottles and all the dummies. And we were sitting there and we opened up the steriliser and we're like, we've done this a lot. Like three times we've already done it. We're reading the instructions to see how the steriliser worked because it's been so bloody long since we've had a baby.
Yeah,
we're like,
I bet.
Oh God, it was just frightening. And we're like, put all the nappies in and I'm looking at the nappies going, oh my God, we've got to do this again. Packed all the baby clothes into the suitcase, got everything packed. Got the little bath out, got the car seat fitted yesterday. So everything is set.
You're ready.
And ready. And I'm super excited. I've got butterflies in my tummy. I didn't sleep last night because I'm so excited. I just want to see what she looks like. And it really is going to change our life. Like, because we're all set. We had the three daughters and they've all grown up. And now we've just got this beautiful human that's going to come into the world tomorrow. And Al's been amazing. And I just got to say, that I don't know if she's listening, but she probably is, that she's been amazing through this whole pregnancy and she's just a super mum and I'm so excited to call her my wife and I'm very excited that she's going to bring a little human into the world. She's done a super job. She can't wait for it to come out because I'm tipping she wants a wine real quick.
Oh yeah.
But you've been amazing, hun, and I can't wait to enjoy this special time with you tomorrow
when we
bring a little human.
So excited,
into
Fever.
The world.
We'll be
and
waiting.
I love you so much. Can't wait.
Oh,
it's going to be super
beautiful.
Exciting.
We're so excited for both of you and all the girls. And at this time tomorrow, we'll be 28 minutes away from the new Favola being born.
I know. It's
and
super
Byron
exciting.
And I'll be sitting here waiting for the phone call because we want to hear her name.
Yes. Will you?
She's a bit
call. No pressure, but would you maybe give us a call tomorrow?
Maybe. We'll see.
I do know, Fev, though, that in your preparation, there was one phone call you remembered to make yesterday.
Yeah, I rang Jace because it is my brother's birthday tomorrow. So I rang him on FaceTime just to wish him a happy birthday in advance because I've wrecked his birthday.
Because you deliberately chose his birthday. I mean, cesarean, you can pick a day.
Yeah, we can pick a day. And we chose the 28th. And it's my brother Jace, the rat killer's birthday.
Why not choose the 29th or today? Why?
Happy birthday tomorrow, Jace. But I don't think I'll get around to doing
that. That's like a prank. That's like a joke that you play on your brother but it never goes away.
It's not
like,
forever.
His birthday. No, every birthday.
Every birthday destroyed.
And I know Schnooksy's a little bit stressed, but I'll be there by your side, hon. I can't wait for tomorrow, guys.
Good stuff.
Little baby.
We are so excited.
101.9 The Fox.
It's a great day today because this time tomorrow morning, there will be another Favola in the world. A big 24 hours for you and for Alex and the rest of the family. The girls are all so excited. We're so excited for you, Feb. We thought we couldn't let you go off on your paternity leave tomorrow without giving you some gifts.
Oh, I have love gifts.
Now, you've got so much and we've, we know that this is really all about Alex and the baby.
It is.
Let's be honest.
It is. It's
and Dad,
all about
sometime,
Alex.
All about Alex.
I was there for 2 minutes.
Sometimes dads get overlooked, and we didn't want that to be the case. So, Fev, we've got you. Here's a big card we've all signed.
There you go, mate.
Jesus, a big card.
And then we've got you a cigar and some father port. That's port.
Oh, thank you very
with,
much.
And it's actually for fathers, so that's especially
God,
for you.
That's amazing.
And to add to that, we know how much you love George Ezra's song Shotgun.
Yes.
So we've got you your own little version of Shotgun.
Oh, wow. The Favola family is going to become six.
Yay! We're having a baby!
Yes, we are.
New baby creator, nothing greater. Getting time off work. Getting time off work.
Come on!
The happiest I've ever been. Interrupted sleep routine. You'll never get used to this. Filled up nappies with
yellow and brown. So much work, you might feel like you'll drown.
Oh my God.
In the jungle, I've dealt with 10 times worse. Having her is better than a crown. New baby Favola, I can't wait to hold her. Vomit on my shoulder. New baby Favola, sitting in a stroller. Mom and dad adore her.
Go, Fev.
Oh, we are so happy for you. Oh, Fev, you are the best dad. Like, you and Al are such wonderful parents. You're wonderful parents to your three girls at the moment. This is such a special time. We know that this little girl coming into the world is the luckiest girl for getting you two as her parents.
I can't wait to fast forward 21 years and play that jingle on her 21st.
Well, now, obviously, that George Ezra song is the song you've sung this year relentlessly. Yes. And once upon a time, you loved a Callum Scott song so much.
I did.
And George has really replaced Callum. Callum's taken that a bit personally.
A bit awkward for Callum.
But a good friend of the show, Callum Scott, also wanted to leave you a message, a congratulatory message.
Fifi, Fev, Byron, it is your boy here, Callum Scott, also known as Scott from Scoresby. Just wanted to check in, but more specifically, wanted to give a big shout to my man, Fev. I hear you having another baby, man. Congratulations. I know you'll do an incredible job again because I stalk the heck out of you on Instagram. And I know you're such a great dad, so congratulations. And listen, if it's a boy, you could probably name him after your favourite pop star. Could maybe call him George. Anyway, just wanted to say all the very best, and if I don't speak to you, any of you before, have a wonderful Christmas to you guys and everybody at Fox.
Oh, good on you, Cal.
Well done, Cal Scott, you bloody legend. I've got a present for you guys. Obviously, I'm going away. I won't be back at work, so I've got a couple of co-hosts.
Oh, no, you're coming back after the birth of the child.
We've got a couple of great guests coming in to fill my spot, but I've got a little present for you guys just to keep in the studio.
Okay.
Because it's a big dog. And when you take time off, I don't want anyone to take my seat, so I've got...
It's a life-size cutout of you.
A life-size cutout of me, just so you don't miss me. Have a look at that big ugly head.
Look at that.
And that's really nice. It's just that the actual Fab will be here because it's in your contract, so you will also be here.
There I am. You'll love that, Byron. I might talk back to you. Have a look at that. Jeez, what a good-looking human.
101.9 The Fox.
And it's a Tuesday.
Hughesy Tuesday.
Hughesy, happy birthday for yesterday.
Look, really appreciate your good wishes, guys.
Happy 50th.
It's not my 50th, and that's what we need to establish this. And for the whoever sent in that massive 5-0 and all those balloons yesterday. And with the little card underneath said, from your biggest fans, you look so great for 50. Now, are they being serious? What's going on there?
Don't worry about it, Yuzi. Byron's 52. You've still got him covered.
Okay. I mean, Yuzi, welcome to my world where I actually look about 15 years younger than I am. But that's not the point. He does this to everyone, mate. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but I'm keeping it. I'm not coming from Fev. I'm coming from left, right and centre. You know, I'm like... A mate of mine said, oh, yeah, I was talking about you in some sort of deli yesterday and said it was your birthday. And they said, oh, it must be his big one. Must be his big
must
one.
Must be.
Must be. It has
so
to be. Look at his head. He must be 50. And I haven't had a drink for 25 years. Imagine if I lived Fev's lifestyle. I'd look like I was 127.
Yeah, right. Hey, at least
your old lifestyle, not your new lifestyle, your old lifestyle. I understand that.
At least your dog's up and about in the background.
Bubbles, just shut
up. Bubbles.
Yeah, Hughesy is at home, by the way. He's always by a satellite and he's in his house and we can hear his dog in the background.
Now, what about Hughesy? Because, you know, your mates will rib you and listeners, but your family, you can rely on them to look after you on your birthday. And I believe Holly got you a present.
She got me a toaster, which is, I mean, look, it's a four slice toaster, which I appreciate, but it's not a birthday present, you know?
Especially 50, it's a big one.
It's not my 50th.
But I love how thoughtful, because didn't she remember, isn't this from when you were on a holiday and she had a memory?
Yes, a few weeks ago, we were on a holiday and then we were at a holiday house with five families and all the kids everywhere and there was a four slice toaster. I said, we should have one of those. And she put that in her memory. Honestly, she was saying I was going to get you a car, but I didn't know what sort of car to get you. So she ended up with a toaster. So,
all right,
on a budget.
Hughesy's going to hang around. It is Hughesy Tuesday.
101.9 The Fox.
Of course, every Tuesday on the show, he drives you home. Hughesy and Kate from 4:30, and joins us.
Hughesy Tuesday.
Hughesy,
guys. my birthday, yeah, yesterday, but another legend is going to be born tomorrow. That's true, isn't it?
A day after your birthday. Do you know what, though, Hughes? You know the backstory to this, because obviously your birthday yesterday and tomorrow, the 28th of November, was selected because Fev and Alex are having the caesarean. So it was a day they got to pick.
Yes.
But have you heard that that's actually Jason Favola, Fev's brother's birthday?
Well, I mean, to combine those two birthdays in the future is going to be fantastic.
Just forget Jace's birthday.
I think Jace has been eclipsed.
No, look, we love Jace. Jace is a great man. But you know, we're going to love this baby even more.
And that's right, Yuzi, because it's going to be AFLW Carlton pick one in 18 years, full forward down at the Mighty Blues.
Mate, you're going to have the whole team, aren't you? Yeah, well, it's going to work out. Absolutely.
It's going to really work out. Don't worry
and
about
can
that.
Can I celebrate the caesarean? I just wish all babies were born caesarean, because it's like you put the date in your calendar and you turn up and then, you know, an hour later it's done. Yes,
it's not even an hour. It's like 10 minutes. It's amazing.
Rafferty was sideways. Our son, who's 9, he was sideways, and so he was a caesarean. We had to have a caesarean. I thought you had to go caesarean every time after that.
I thought you did too.
You don't. My wife said that with our second baby we're going to go now. I said, honey, we've got the sunroof. We've got to use it. What's there? But no.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
There we go. Well, I've had our fun. Hey, Hughesy, before you go, mate, it's that festive season, and there's some exciting things happening with you in a book, right?
Yeah, me and my wife have written a book, guys. Excuse Me, Santa. It's the second book in the Martha May series, who's a little flatulent sheep. So,
Welcome to the world of authors.
Exactly.
Oh, here we go.
Right. So,
yeah, right.
Excuse Me, Santa. I believe it's in bookshops. I know it is. It's in bookshops now. So it's a great book for Christmas.
Good on you, Hughesy. All right. Hughesy and Kate driving you home from 4:30 this summer.
Hughesy.
Right here on the Fox.
101.9 The Fox.
Love when we do this with Fifi, Fev and Byron. We get to talk a bit of science.
This is great. I love experiments. Remember at school when you do science and you get to do experiments? You should be able to do experiments as adults.
Is that jingle an experiment?
I don't know. I ignored it.
It's a popular segment.
Anyway, this is a really important experiment. So a group of Australian doctors, in their commitment and dedication to paediatrics, did an experiment where they swallowed a piece of Lego. Now, the idea was to see, because a lot of parents rush their kids into the children's hospital, into emergency services when they swallow Lego. So these doctors went about swallowing Lego to follow through what actually happens to Lego and how dangerous is that when a child swallows a piece of Lego.
Right.
And we're joined by one of those doctors from Footscray Hospital, Dr. Andrew Tagg. Hi, Dr. Tagg.
Good morning, guys.
Now, Dr. Tagg, firstly, this has become global. This has been picked up by scientific journals around the world, and you're a big news story today. But take us back to when you came up with the experiment and your purpose.
So I see a lot of kids in the emergency department who swallow things, you know, coins, worms,
batteries,
and bits of Lego. Hopefully not batteries, because they're pretty much the most dangerous things kids can swallow.
Yep.
But most of the things kids swallow are pretty harmless, but parents don't know that, so they come rushing in, and we thought, well, I'm pretty sure I swallowed loads of Lego when I was a kid, and it didn't seem to do me any harm. And that fact didn't seem to get out there, so I thought, let's see if we can get this out into the public sphere. And so we thought the only way to find out really what happens is to do it ourselves.
Okay, Dr. Tagg, I'd say that with your experiment, a baby or a small infant swallowing Lego would be a lot different to an adult swallowing. Wouldn't it be very different with the body?
Absolutely. And, you know, obviously the time it takes things to go through kids is a lot faster, because their guts will work a lot more quickly. And obviously everything, all their little holes are a lot smaller. But, you know, we can't get ethical approval to give random children in the street bits of Lego, so we thought we'd try it on grown-ups first.
Now, Dr. Tagg, I have enough trouble swallowing a tablet. How hard is it to actually swallow a piece of Lego when you try? That must have been difficult.
No, it's actually pretty easy, you know. I just saw it as a piece of sweet corn, just a little bit more crunchy.
Oh, so like...
you'd be going with a Lego with only
with
one...
You're not going with a square bit or one of the rectangles.
You're not going one with eight little knobs on the top.
No,
you're going
definitely
a little,
not, no.
It's got like a little Lego man head.
Oh, I was imagining a block.
Well,
you got
out the old Duplo, the big giant blocks.
Well, no, just even a standard piece of Lego. Did anyone swallow a block?
No, that'd be too painful. Too sharp edges coming out as well, you know.
Dr. Tag, how long does it take for a bit of Lego to go in and out the other end?
So going in is pretty straightforward, but it takes about 1.7 days for a Lego head to make its way through a grown man.
Wow.
Now, Dr. Tag, I love that you got together with the, your fellow doctors and did this. Who drew the short straw to do the investigation at the other end? Like, I imagine...
Yeah, it would have been nice if we could get someone else to do it, but we had to do it ourselves. So, you know, some of us used chopsticks, tongue depressors.
Oh.
One of our people pooed in a bag and gave it a good squash.
Oh,
it takes...
Do we get to the conclusion of the experiment? I know that we're pooing out Lego.
It takes pooing blocks to a different level.
Yeah, so one of the challenges is that one of our researchers never found his bit of Lego after searching for 2 weeks.
Oh, dear. Well, is that a problem, that's still there. Dr. Tag?
Well,
is it still in here?
I guess, that's the challenge, isn't it? So maybe one time he's going to have someone's going to look down with a camera in the future and see the smiling Lego hairs sticking in his colon just looking at them.
Oh, I remember a friend of mine swallowed a goldfish boxy.
That
took 2.5 days to come out.
Dr. Tag, can we get any confirmation on, I mean, this is really important research for paediatrics. Just a separate question. If you swallow watermelon seeds, will a watermelon grow inside you?
Definitely not.
Good, just checking.
Just checking.
Just another question I've always wondered.
That is, of course, our popular segment. Thank you so
much.
Just
while we had a doctor on the line.
Dr. What? Andrew Tagg there from the Footscray Hospital.
Does chewing gum pass too?
Oh, yes.
Oh, he's gone.
Oh.
We lost
him.
We've
just
lost
him.
Oh, we've lost him. What were you going to ask,
Beth? Sorry, I wasted on the watermelon question.
Yeah, the watermelon. You know, I was always told as a child, if you swallow gum, it stays in your system for seven years.
We all got told that.
Is that true?
Oh, he's here.
Oh, we've got him back. Here we go. Sorry.
Dr. Tag, does chewing gum stay in your stomach for 7 years?
No, definitely not.
How long?
Well, I don't know, to be honest. I swallow it all the time. It depends what you're talking about.
Here's another experiment for you, Dr. Tag.
1019, The Fox.
Now, you know how, Byron, we are very, very protective as Melburnians, Fev and I, born and bred.
Mm.
Fev, Narre Warren, me, Wonga Park, you're an outsider from Sydney.
I've lived in Melbourne for 10 years and it's my adopted home.
Anyway, Fev and I are very passionate about protecting Melbourne Victorian landmarks.
Be welcoming.
Well, I don't even know if you're familiar with this landmark, but one of Victoria's last remaining drive-in cinemas, the Coburg Drive-In. Has been sold.
What?
It's been reeled in by a buyer for $12.5 million.
Wow.
Now, immediately, Fev, I think, oh, hang on, they're going to redevelop it. It's going to be apartments. Apparently, it has to remain a drive-in for at least a decade.
Oh, that's a tough investment.
So they've got to see that out for 10 years.
Jeez.
Wow.
And then... but then they could do anything to it. And it's one of the last remaining drive-ins. I mean, I'm tempted to try to save this, Fev. I love saving a corner.
Please stop saving things. You haven't saved anything so far.
Well, I only know of two drive-ins in Melbourne. There's the Coburg and Dramana.
Was Dandenong as well?
Dandenong.
Is there a Dandenong drive-in?
Yes, there's three.
God, I lived in Narre Warren. I've never heard of the Dandenong drive-in.
Yeah, it's called what's it called again, Leon?
Might be part of the problem.
The Lunar Drive-In.
Oh, wow. There you go. I've been to the Coburg Drive-In once.
Have you?
The only time I've ever been.
What did you see?
Oh, God, I can't remember.
Beverly Hills Cop?
Didn't watch any.
Lethal Weapon?
Didn't watch any film? No. It was like 1999 or 2000 because I lived out that way. So we went with the boys.
Cool. I've never been to a drive-in.
You get your drive-in. It's all like, oh, yeah, let's go to the drive-in. Then you get there and you're like, ooh. Got to tune into your radio, then you get your mobile out and you order food and they skate
up. Do you get a blankie
up.
Or can you turn your car on to get heat? Like if you cold, it'll be quite cold at night maybe, particularly in winter.
Mm.
Do you get like blankies?
I wasn't cold, no. I think it was a scary movie. I can't
remember. Do they bring around food?
Yeah, you order it off your phone.
Oh, this sounds fun.
And
we
that comes
do
up.
This.
Yeah, you got to get into the thing. Oh, it's really cool.
I love it. The I love the
Boys,
idea of driving.
The Beach Boys even sung about the snack list. So
extra buttered popcorn.
Very big in the early 60s.
Look, Fev's been once. I've never been to a drive-in, the Coburg drive-in. It's there. It's safe. You can see it for another 10 years at least. but it might be on its last legs. 131060, what a great opportunity to walk down memory lane and get some great drive-in memories.
Oh, beautiful idea.
No, wrong one. Really? Here we go.
Memories.
There we go, Barbara. Do you have any great memories of the drive-in? Maybe you met your now husband or your mum and dad.
We don't want stories.
Made out of a drive-in.
We don't want those sorts of stories, sure.
Maybe. You never know. Your grandparents. I mean, it seems a bit ye olde, but I think people still go to the drive-in.
Yeah, they do. Speaking about Barbara, I watched A Star Is Born.
The original. Chris Christopherson.
Yeah.
Well, no, the actual original was before that Judy Garland.
Very interesting.
Wasn't as good.
Oh, you didn't like the Barbara and Chris Christopherson?
No.
Okay, interesting.
Anyway, that's a movie that someone may have seen in a drive-in. 13 10 60. Give us a call right now with your drive-in memories here on The Fox. We'll take your calls after this. 13 10 60. Fifi, Fev and Byron.
101.9 The Fox.
Right now, we're talking about the Coburg drive-in. It's been sold for $12.5 million. But I love it. I don't know how they did this. They've insisted on it being remaining a drive-in for at least 10 years. So another decade of drive-ins of drive-in experiences in Coburg. And we thought, let's go down memory lane and hear your stories, your memories of going to a drive-in. Maybe they're your parents' memories that you're just going to retell.
Well, you made it a drive-in.
What if you had to walk around? Like, do you get out of your car to walk to the toilets and you're walking past cars and just watching people make out?
With all the steamy windows.
It's a bit much, isn't it? Tara from Craigieburn. Hi, Tara.
Hi.
Tara! Now, is this your memory of a drive-in?
No, it's actually my parents.
Ooh, what have you got for us? Some good gold?
Well, my mum went to the drive-ins with one guy. Mm. She got out to go to the candy bar during the movie, met my dad in the candy bar, finished the movie in my dad's car, and the first guy knocked on the window and said, "You left your handbag in my car," and then drove off.
Wow. Your mum's a legend.
That's amazing.
Wow. What movie were they watching, Tara?
I couldn't tell you. It was back in 1970 something.
I don't reckon Mum was watching the movie.
Whoa.
What a great story, though.
Great story.
Like if it wasn't your mum and dad and they ended up getting married and having you, gee, Mum's a bit harsh, just leaving the guy.
Went to the candy bar to get some popcorn and ended up with a husband.
Oh, I like that. That's been amazing. On a date and seen a guy that I'd prefer to be on the date with. That happens a bit.
It does. That's a separate phone topic. Can you make a note of that?
I'm not even kidding. I was at the candy bar at a cinema. When a guy, anyway, long's different.
We'll get to it.
Mick.
Good sell, though, for another show.
Sorry. Whoops. Mick, how are you today?
All good, yourself?
Yeah, good, Mick.
Good.
Just turn your radio down a bit.
Yeah,
bright.
Just in the background,
well
bro.
Well done, Fev. Good radio sensibilities.
Pop it down.
Mick, give us your drive-in memory.
Well, it was one of the first releases of the movie It, and we went down to the Coburg drive-ins and watching the movie and stuff, and towards the end of the movie, we turned to our right and some bloke was actually dressed as It the Clown at the cinemas.
Oh.
Yeah.
pretty
bad.
That's chilling.
Terrifying.
I reckon that'd be me if I went to a drive-in. I'd just go by myself and go watch a scary movie and just scare the crap out of people. Run up to their cars.
Oh, wow.
That's really
cool. Wouldn't
thank
you do that?
Thank
that'd
you,
be
Mick.
Good.
That'd be a good immersive cinema to a horror movie immersive cinema. You know, we're doing one, Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing.
But you could do it as a horror film
scary
people.
Immersive one.
Yeah. David in Q. Hi, David.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very good. David. Have you got a memory from a drive-in?
Yeah, well, I used to work at the drive-in up in Queensland, up in Aspley. I used to find the hardest thing was... at the end of the night, is knocking on people's windows when they're all up steamy, trying to tell them, excuse me, you've got to move on, we're closing.
Oh, that's the worst job in the world.
Yeah, I saw a lot of things I didn't want to see, I can tell you.
Let's go into so it, David. Awkward. We asked the question, Byron. It's for our listeners in the car, they'd be like, ooh, what did Davo see? Well, Davo, what did you see?
Use your imagination.
There's a lot of full moons, put it that way.
Okay.
101.9 The Fox.
This was the moment after Leanne from Bundoora had answered all 10 questions.
Do you reckon you got them all right?
I hope so.
Where do you work?
I work at a company called DESA in Fairfield. And usually the radio is on Fox FM at this moment on a Tuesday.
So everyone at work will be listening.
I can't call in sick.
I reckon you should call in because you've just won $10,000.
Congratulations, Leanne.
$10,000.
Oh, my God.
You did it. Leanne, we've got Hedley, your dad, on the line. Are you there, Hedley?
Yes.
Headley, Leanne just won $10,000.
Oh, geez, that's bloody save me a bit of money, isn't it?
Yes, there he was, Headley, adding a bit of personality to that moment.
She owed him five.
Yeah, so clearly there's something going on there between Dad and Leanne. But well done to Leanne. Alpha Bucks, of course, 7 and 8 a.m. weekday mornings with Thief Thief Evan Byron.
Now, on the back of giving away 10 grand 45 minutes ago, Feb, you hate to hear the word crackdown in a news story.
Yeah.
The minute you hear crackdown, you go, oh, fun police are here. What are they stopping us doing? Now, this is the Qantas Fun Police. There, you may have heard
great
the news
airline.
Across. Oh, the Qantas is wonderful.
Normally do a wonderful job.
They are cracking down on sneaky passengers that are overloading their carry-on baggage. Now, carry-on is that's a gold mine of controversy,
yes.
Isn't it? Because I will base my whole flight on carry-on.
Right.
So if I have a lot of carry-on, like a big, you know, one of the bigger small suitcases.
Yeah, the one that fits.
I'll get to the airport early. I'll get at the front of the queue because there's nothing worse than when everyone takes up all the carry-on. And what about when you go down the aisle, Fev, and you find your seat and you look up at your carry-on and the whole storage area is full? Well, no, hang on a second. You needed to leave space for me. Mm. I'm sitting here.
Mm.
Frustrating
yeah,
area.
Yeah, it is frustrating. I go about four steps. I don't really walk down an aisle.
Because you're in first class.
Business.
Pointy end.
Anyway, they've decided they want to make this fair. And fair enough, Qantas. You know, I guess people have been taking advantage of carry-on.
Sure. It's like regular people not like Fev.
All we got to do is abide by the rules, Boxy. This is a big bugbear of mine. When you see people, and I think you're limited to two bags, like a handbag and your carry-on. When people have got like two carry-ons, another overcoat bag, a computer bag, no, you can't do that. You've got to check it in.
Well, it's also...
It's not fair on the other passengers.
Isn't it fair? And then when they crack down on one, when they say to one person, I feel like in my lifetime I've had somebody say, no, you can't bring those both on. But then I'll have seen like 10 people in front of me take on two. Well, hang on, double standards. So anyway, Qantas are doing this crackdown and it might force people to be more creative with their carry-on. And we would love to hear, 131060, what are your tips for being creative with carry-on? Because
I've done this.
Tom, who works, who makes all our wonderful jingles and all the audio to do with our show, he's a superstar. Tom, you've got some good creative tips for carry-on.
Well, making the audio, I'm a bit of a nerd, so I have my hard drives in both jacket pockets. I make sure that I've got all my clothing layers on at the same time, and then I also put my laptop under my arm, under the jacket, so it's hidden from view.
So smuggling
Thomas,
hardware.
You carry a couple extra hard drives on, do you?
Okay. There's a little gag in there as well.
See, Byron, you hate checking in luggage, so I know you go to great lengths to make sure everything is carried.
I could go to LA for 8 to 10 weeks and I will never ever check in. And people say, how? It's called laundry.
Yeah, but how do you get...
Just do your laundry.
But are you creative though? Because you must take one small suitcase.
It's
on
one small suitcase because when people pack for, say, a trip for a week, they go, oh, well, I'll need 7 T-shirts and 7 pairs of this. No. Just take a couple and do your laundry.
What about shoes? You just wear one pair of shoes.
Well, yeah, I'm a
trip.
Guy, so I've got sort of shoes that can get away with, like these Converse ones that they're sort of...
Every day.
You can wear them everywhere.
Stinky.
This happened to me, Boxhead, when I went to the States. Remember I told that story about how I left Alex's big, massive suitcase, everything packed away for a month, and I left it at the hotel. So we had 6 bags with Mum and the kids, and we checked our bags in, but they wouldn't allow us because the time was about to cut off.
Yeah.
So we got the suitcase delivered to the airport, and we had nothing to put it in. So I had to go in, check in with the passport, go upstairs. We're in LA. I had to buy 7 LA Lakers, like little bags, like carry-on sports bags.
Yeah.
Go back out, fill up the luggage, and there was like half left. Alex was filthy. Anyway, so because we're going to have 1 or 2 per person.
Wow.
So we had to give one to all the kids. So the kids were carrying on a carry-on.
Kids for carry-on. Yes.
That's good.
Yeah, because that's a person.
Hack.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
That's
a hack. Good hack.
That's why we're having another one.
just to get more carry on.
More carry on.
131060, creative ways of carrying on more luggage. Have you done it?
Come back to your calls after this on The Fox.
1019 The Fox.
Creative carry on. Qantas have just announced that they're going to crack down on sneaky passengers sneaking in too much into their carry on luggage. So
there was a basketballer, Boxy, that plays for Perth who came over a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but he smuggled over his dog.
Whoops.
What, in carry-on?
Yeah.
Oh, hang on.
That's not even right. Like, that's...
Yeah.
like Peter would have a problem with that. You can't put a dog up there.
Yeah, it was like boo and...
Actually, you know why he might have been an innocent mistake.
Yeah, but he ticked it on the US. Yeah,
well, US domestic travel, you can put your little chihuahua in your bag and bring it onto the plane.
He got fined.
Really?
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Sneaky little
we
Carol.
Can't do that here.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Yeah. Sky in Edith Vale. Hi, Sky.
Good chat.
Hi, CP7 Byron.
Hi, Sky.
Hey, Sky. Sky, how do you handle carry-on? Have you got any sneaky tips?
Well, I was in beautiful sunny Queensland in my summer outfit coming back to cold Melbourne and got told my carry-on was too heavy. So there I was in the airport putting on all my winter coats, winter gloves, winter scarf in the middle of the Queensland airport. So,
and you got away, then suddenly it was the right weight?
It was, but I'm quite short and petite, so I thought, why can't they skim off a few of my kilos? And
Good point.
That's a whole Pandora's box of things.
Isn't
there.
It?
There's nothing better, Sky, than when you rock up to the airport and you've got your little bag and it hasn't got much in it, and you see like a family just chucking clothes on because they've overweighted their bag and they're really chucking it on like Eskimos. It's the best.
It's the same weight, though, in a way. Isn't it ridiculous? Because it's the same weight's going on the plane. It's just where it's placed.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah, it'd be like if I went on with my bag boxy, you know, I'm heavy, and then Byron, and he got done for his bag being, he'd be like, well, he's an extra 30 kilos of me. Well, what's the difference?
It'd be fair. I should bring on more.
Tiffany in Werribee. Hey, Tiff.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Tiff. How do you get away with sneaking on carry-on?
Yeah, you just take your kids with you. Last time we travelled, we've got 3 kids, and we just spent about 20 minutes at the scales and moving stuff from bag to bag to make sure nothing went over.
Well done.
That's clever. I'll never forget the moment when I realised, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love having a daughter for many reasons, but when I realised, oh, I can take on extra carry-on.
Extra carry-on.
Another whole bag.
It almost makes you think about having more children.
Absolutely.
Hey.
Jenny in Truganina. Hey, Jenny.
Hi, how you going?
Good, Jenny. What are your sneaky carry-on tactics?
So a few years ago, I was travelling in Europe and I came across this American girl who was travelling solely with carry-on, and she used these funky vacuum seal bags.
So does that lessen the weight if you vacuum seal it?
I have no idea.
Oh, no, it wouldn't be the one. Do you know what? She's got rid of the volume. Yes. Yeah. So if she's sucked it all out, she can get more in the bag. But if they weighed it, she'd be in trouble, I reckon, because it would weigh more.
That's almost a throwback to a segment we did earlier in the morning. It really is. That was...
What, ate your luggage?
101.9 The Fox.
If you're a tradie and you're good at karaoke, call us now for Tradioke.
Tradies of Melbourne, step up to the microphone. It is your time to shine. We've got Bailey, a Tyler from Mickleham. Bailey, we've been looking forward to this. You're going to give us a bit of Britney, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. I've been looking forward to this for a while as well. I called a while back, couldn't quite get through. I was so spewing.
Oh, we'll always come back to you, Bailey. Now, which song?
He's gone with this one, Pete.
Yes, that's the one.
The original one. She was in the schoolgirl costume in the video.
That's it.
Bailey remembers the video well. Okay. And he's
good
up and
luck,
about.
Bailey.
Oh, wait, start, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, mate. The time is yours.
My loneliness is killing me, and I must confess, I still believe, when you're not with me, I lose my mind. Give me a sign. Hit me, baby, one more time.
Wow.
Yes.
Really, he got a bit off mic there. He really...
But I love that. That happens a bit with the tradies. Yeah. And you're giving it so much, you're pulled away from the microphone. A good technique there, Bailey.
Well, a good technique, but it would be good to hear him. Thank you, Bailey.
John Boy, a concreter from Carrum Downs. Hey, John Boy.
How's it going?
Yeah, good. How are you today?
Oh, yeah, I'm good. I'm on my way to work, actually.
Is John Boy a rap name?
Yeah. Oh, no, it's just I grew up with that name, you know.
I love it, John Boy.
But, you know, I can use it as my rap name.
Yeah, I like it.
It's very Little House on the Prairie.
I don't think that's what he was driving at.
Now, John Boy, you're going to sing Will Smith's Getting Jiggy With It.
Yep. Getting jiggy with it.
Whoa, yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Now, this will be interesting because obviously there's a chorus, but then there's some fairly involved verses that would involve rapping. So I don't know how he's going to go about this. John Boy.
Good luck, John Boy. Take it away.
Ready. On your mark, ready, set, let's go. Dance for a pro. I know, you know, I go psycho when my new joint hit. Just can't sit. Gotta get jiggy with it. Ooh, that's it. Now, honey, honey, come ride. DKNY, all up in my eye. You got a Prada bag with a lot of stuff in it. Give it to you, girl. Let's get it. Everybody glancing the kid. Which dancing the jig. Here was this handsome kid. Cigar, cigar, right from Cuba Gabal. I just bought it for the look. I don't light it. Ill way from Amityville and say, oh, play. Give it to me, jiggy. Make me feel like foreplay. Ha. Your more cardio is infinite. Ha ha. But really, stars are all in it. Getting jiggy with it. La 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 la.
Oh, that was awesome. La, 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 jiggy with it. Well done.
John Boy. John Boy.
That was really good.
That's amazing because I didn't even know that song really had lyrics. Like, I've never even never paid that much attention.
That was awesome from John Boy. He'd have to be the clubhouse leader to use a Fev term.
Oh, what about
Bailey?
Paul Bailey
was very good with Brittany. No, come on, Byron.
Oh, come on, Byron.
John.
Everyone's a winner.
A chef from Kensington. We don't get many chefs through, John, well, so welcome to the show.
We don't because chefs aren't tradies.
It is a trade.
It's a trade.
Oh, chef's a trade. Good point.
Chef's a trade, Byron. Sorry about that, John.
He's just knocking out his list.
Thank you.
Yeah, really well, John. I actually think you're our first chef. So this is a big moment for us.
Hey, John.
They call me Little Big John. If you saw me, you know why.
Hey, Little Big John.
I'm about 5 foot tall and 5 foot wide.
Okay, okay. What's going on?
Hey, Johnny, just a quick question. How do you make fish not stink when you cook it?
I'm not sure.
No, that's, it's not chef. A question for a chef.
I love this. We've had John Boy, now I've got Little Big John.
Yeah, there's a bit going on.
Now, what are you going to sing for us, John?
Flame Trees by Carl Chisholm.
Okay. Oh, what a classic. What a song. I reckon this will be my banger tomorrow.
All of this is
I might bring this back as a banger.
Very interesting.
What a song. Okay, Little Big John, chef from Kensington, take it away. Give us some Carl Chisholm.
Kids are driving Saturday afternoon, just passing by. I'm just savoring familiar sights. We shed some history, this town and I. And I can't stop that long forgotten feeling of her. Time to book the room and stay the night. Number one is to find some friends to say you're doing well. After all this time, you boys look just the same. All the flame trees will blind the weary driver. And there's nothing else could set fire to this town.
Ah, well done, Johnny.
More than enough. Well done.
Oh, Johnny
well
sounds
done.
Like Lulu when she wakes up because she's got a bit of a nasal problem.
Right, yeah, okay.
Blow her nose.
Well, that's
John,
just
that
very nasally,
John's
Johnny.
Voice.
You got the flu?
I've just recovered from the cold.
Great. Oh, really? John, I know.
I lost my voice for 4 days.
Well done, John. Oh, so, John
well,
the chef.
John, it didn't affect your performance.
No,
you
very
were
good.
In, like, what? You were on tone, what do you call it? All the... You were...
Pitchy?
Pitch perfect. You were pitch perfect, John.
Pitchy.
Well done.
Are you from Queensland, Johnny?
I wrote a rap song called Fat Power. I'd love to sing that one day.
We don't do originals.
We'd love to have you back on, John, anytime.
Yeah, no, we'll just we'll
Johnny
get in touch
like
with our people.
Sing that song with a couple of Bundys and Rome.
Yeah. Okay. So,
punch it out.
Big decision. You had Bailey doing Britney Spears one more time. You had John Boy, who surely the best of them, but that's just my opinion, with Getting Jiggy With It. And then, of course, John the Chef there with Carl Chisholm. Which way are you going, Fev, the self-appointed judge?
You're very harsh, Bob. Byron on Bailey and John. John.
God, I reckon just because you said John Boy, Byron, I'm going to go with Bailey.
Oh, that's just...
Woo!
You're a legend.
John Boy, it's like Winx getting beaten. Like, that's ridiculous.
Enjoy the races. Thanks to Ladbrokes, Bailey.
Thank you.
Just don't sing one more time at the races. I don't know how that'll go down.
So that what happens there for Bailey and Mickenham there is Fief, he and three friends, including their food and drink vouchers, are having a night at the Valley. Well, let's celebrate Christmas at the Valley this Saturday, the 1st of December. It's where days are full of excitement. Good prize.
John Boy and Little Big John were so good, though. I hope they both call back again with other songs.
Yeah, John Boy's stiff. He got to blame Byron for
that. Byron cost you just need to get your opinion out of it.
Because Fev doesn't like me, John Boy, that's why you didn't win.
The brand new Willow Doncaster boutique apartments are selling fast. With public transport on your doorstep and only a short walk to schools in Westfield Doncaster, visit willowdoncaster.com.au to start living in luxury. Want more Fifi, Fam and Byron? Download the Fox app. Want access to exclusive prizes? Become a VIP at fox.com.au.
101.9 The Fox.